Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
This is James Avera from Hellstar and Sabbath Judas Sabbath! Rock out with your geek out!
Hey everyone, welcome to episode number 127 of the Metal Geeks Podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with...
Brutal Dave. I'm here.
Brutal Dave.
This time.
Yes. And we're getting a little bit more brutal George over here.
A little more brutal?
A little more brutal than normal.
Oh, whatever. I've always liked that kind of stuff.
So, welcome, George.
What's up, guys? George motherfucking Tripsis on the mic.
That's right. So, one of the things that George mentioned when he got here, he's like, you know what band I discovered that I like?
Oh, did you want me to just go straight
into
that? Okay, yeah. So throughout the weekend, when I'm cleaning the house and stuff, I just have a Spotify playlist playing in the background.
Wait, what do you mean?
Wait, cleaning the house? Don't do that?
What does that mean?
Yeah, well,
don't let my wife hear that.
You'll learn eventually.
Okay.
So one of the things that came up through my Spotify playlist was Testament, their latest album, and I've never heard them before or listened to them.
I find that so hard to believe.
I feel like y'all mentioned to them about them before to me.
They made our top 10 last year.
Or y'all said something about it, and I probably just kind of zoned out because you mostly talk about like hair metal stuff that I don't like or epic metal that I just think
is annoying.
Okay,
we're going to get to that too.
So I just kind of like lumped them in that category. I never just sat there and listened to it. And holy shit, they're pretty good. There's like a few clunkers on the album.
Yes, I definitely agree.
That album is not solid through.
It's about
to me
85%.
But at least like the first four or five songs are pretty awesome. And I was a big fan of those four or five songs. So turns out I'm a Testament fan. Who would have thought that?
So we might have to do two bouts of George hates metal tonight.
Two? Holy crap.
If we have something picked out for later, which is, it's a very metal geek specific thing,
uh-huh.
We might have to pull some other Testament stuff out for you.
All right.
Because there's some great fucking albums.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Dave, what's your favorite Testament album of all time?
Probably the one I'm most familiar with is The Gathering.
Oh, really?
It's actually one that, it's the one that I listened to first.
Okay.
And so I've probably listened to it the most. So I know that's kind of an odd one. That's not one of the ones that...
It's a good album, though. It's a little bit more death metal style on that album. Yeah. But, I mean, I've been a fan of... They're my top four thrash bands.
I didn't know they were a thrash band.
Oh, yeah.
Now I know.
And knowing is half the battle?
Yeah, knowing is half the battle. The more you know.
I freaking love Souls of Black. 1990, 91... It's one of their best albums, I think.
Okay.
So I would check, 1990, I would check that out. But their earlier stuff, you know, it's great. There's great songs on it, but...
It's a little...
The production, it's early, you know, late 80s, you know, mid and late 80s.
It was during that era when no one really knew yet how to capture extreme metal.
Mm.
Right? So... until you started getting like the guys in Florida at Morrisound and all that kind of stuff, like they're the ones who really finally figure out this is how you capture extreme metal. But prior to that, a lot of the recordings are lacking by standards now, but a lot of the music is still really good and worth
very low
to.
On the musical spectrum. Just, you know, if you're like, if you have put a mix together and like, here's an Old Testament song and the New Testament song,
it's
you're
going
to have to turn the old one up and then mm-hmm. turn it back down, you know?
Hmm.
Because now, I mean, records are way loud, I think, too. They hit just that almost to the level where it's, you know, too much.
Cool. But,
yeah, it's a good album.
Yeah, so surprise to you guys.
Yeah.
It's a gift for me to you that I like a band that you like.
I'm happy for that. And they're playing this Sunday
Oh, yeah?
With Sepultura and Prong.
Hey, that's cool.
It's not a bad lineup.
I like Sepultura.
Yeah. What are they called?
Sepultura.
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 Actually,
Sepultura's new album is pretty good, too.
Yes, it is. I don't know if I listened
to that one yet.
Sepultura.
Maybe I have.
What were we watching? We were watching some James Corden or something. He had...
The Late Late Show?
Yeah. He had... Dave Grohl was on there, and he was talking to somebody else. I can't remember. They started talking about... They had somebody from Brazil. Another one of the actresses wasn't from Brazil. I don't even remember her name. But he's like, oh yeah, my favorite metal band is from Brazil. And he started talking about Sepultura on like late night TV. I'm like, okay, this is interesting. Sort of cool.
Yeah, all right. I like James Corden. He's funny.
So going on that Testament route, What other bands do you think he would be into?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm asking Dave.
Oh, it's...
Besides Metallica. Nobody really likes him.
I like Metallica.
I would disagree.
I would say there's a big group of people out there who like Metallica.
What? Wrong. So, a more recent band.
Yeah.
But at least to me, they're nailing the thrash sound. Havoc.
Oh, Havoc, yeah.
Havoc is
a
modern...
There's a couple on this new album.
I haven't listened to all of it, but...
I have a funny story about Havoc. The first time I ever saw them live was like 6 or 7 years ago. It was right after my dad passed away, maybe like a week or so, and I was in a weird mood, you know. And I saw that Primal Fear was coming. And I was like, oh, I've never seen them live. I would, you know, this will take my mind off things. I'm going to go hang out and watch Primal Fear. And Havoc was the opening band, which is it's a different kind of band, but it's right. Cool. And there really wasn't a lot of people at the show, maybe like 150 people. But the singer from Havoc got so super drunk. I went and bought their album from him, and they had a little slide card or something. No, I gave him cash, and he gave me back. It was like $10, and I gave him like $20, and he gave me back $20.
Sweet.
I was like,
free
album. No, dude. I was like... Because I just put it in my pocket and I didn't look at it right first, and I looked at it in a few minutes later. And I'm like, gave way back, way too much money. Went back up to the dude. I'm like, I know, I just bought a CD from you, man. You gave me way too much money back. He's like, oh man, I'm drunk. I appreciate you being honest and stuff. Because most people wouldn't have been, you know.
I wouldn't have been.
And like, I think less than a year later, I interviewed him and I brought up that story. He's like, I remember that. you're the one nice guy who gave me back the money.
I like Exhumer. Does that count?
Exhumer?
Yeah.
They're sort of retro, you know.
I only listened to one of their albums. Well, it's one of their albums that's saved on my Spotify list.
Okay.
Does that count?
Sort of, yeah.
I'm having trouble thinking of other bands he might like that he would be able to get over the vocals.
What about Metal Church?
I don't know enough about Metal Church. Okay. That's kind of your
name
deal.
Alone just screams hell no.
Metal Church, maybe the vocals are too much for you. They're great, but...
But, I mean, I'm thinking about some of the people who have, you know, played in Testament. Okay, because I mentioned The Gathering as a Testament album that I really liked, and so there's a lot of crossover there with Death. But I don't think he could get over the vocals for Death.
Maybe not, no.
Death Angel, same way.
Oh, Death Angel is so good. One of my favorite albums of all time is Act 3 from Death Angel, 1990.
To the year.
I love early 90s thrash, apparently.
I would have never guessed that.
Never guessed it, right?
So anyway, barring all that, how have you been, Kerry?
I've been good. I'm looking up, we talked about it. I went into the Testament radio on Spotify to see other bands that they sort of lump in together. So, some of these I don't agree with. Cannibal Corpse, Megadeth. Are you a Megadeth fan?
No.
Okay. Creator?
Actually, yes. I did listen to a couple of their songs on the thing. I liked a couple of them, but I didn't listen to a whole album. I didn't go back to it, is what
maybe
I'm trying to say.
Maybe you might like some of the Suicidal Tendencies from that era, too.
I think I have listened to it before, and it just didn't grab me.
We talked about this on the show when you were here, when Dave wasn't here. I saw Creator live a few weeks ago. And they fucking blew me away.
I think that's what I remember.
Holy crap,
that's why, dude. I remember the band name. I think that's why I stopped and actually listened to it.
And we watched that video where they sort of played tribute to some of the Fallen Metal guys. It was like the fire.
Oh,
fire
is that who that was?
Not the best video, but it was a cool concept. Man, I had never seen Crater before. I've never really been a big fan of them because it was like, it's one of those bands that was so overwhelming because there was so much music out there.
They're definitely prolific.
Yeah. And I did the math when I was at the show. The dude's 49, right? Because he mentioned they've been together for 35 years, something like that. So the first album came out in 1985.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, the guy was like...
Pleasure to Kill, right?
Yeah.
Was 85 or 86.
He was like 16 or 17 when the first album came out. And I was like, fuck, that dude's young.
Yep. And they've crazy. They've put out a lot of material. Like, and I'm not super familiar with a lot of it, to be honest. I really wanted to go to that show. I've been a little bit busy, but the new Creator album is also pretty good.
I like it a lot, actually.
Yeah,
there's some good stuff on there. It's something George might even like.
It's possible. Yeah. Like I said, I'm pretty sure a couple of their songs came up on my Spotify playlist.
I thought Creator had done more albums, what I'm seeing on their list, but there's not that many. Maybe like 18, 19. It's almost like Overkill. They just put out like their 22nd album or something like that.
Actually, Overkill came up on that same playlist I was listening to. It was okay.
So good.
The drummer is really exceptional. I think that's what really stands out in the music.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you could handle the vocals on Overkill.
That's why I said it was okay. I didn't say I loved it or anything.
He has he's one of the unique voices out there in that scene.
I think I mentioned to you this before. The Overkill reminds me of High on Fire a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I can... And I like High on Fire.
Okay, so wait. Pleasure to Kill was 1986. Endless Pain was 1985.
Yeah.
Okay. Forgot about that. I was thinking Pleasure to Kill was the first album.
They played that song. The title song from that was the last song they played.
It's like one of their... Yeah, like their big one. So on the new album, on like the special edition of it,
yeah,
they have like their whole set from Wacken.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was pretty cool from Wacken 2014. So that was basically my entire drive home from the Renaissance Festival one weekend was listening to
Creator.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Apparently I have a shitload of Creator CDs I never really have opened. I mean... At one point, they remastered a bunch of Creator stuff with a bunch of Sodom albums on some label, and they sent me like every single album they like nice. Remastered. I'm gonna have to pull those out. And Sodom, not so much. I can't really get into that band. I've tried.
I like some of their stuff. I haven't listened to a lot of it.
But that was the same way on Creator, though. That Sean is the one, the Metal Pigeon, really like. You need to listen to this album because it's really, really good. So
see, I'm looking at. Google Music's listings for Creator, and they're missing some stuff.
Okay.
And there's still a lot on here, but they're missing some things. So
what have you guys been up to? You seen any movies or played any games recently?
All the game playing, I've been fucking busy, and the only game playing I've been doing is on my phone.
Yeah, which is
Disney
what?
Blitz.
I have been a little bit.
The world's encapsulated by this damn game around me.
I'm sort of stuck on it a little bit, but...
I'm not playing it as much as I was for a little while.
Yeah.
They keep doing the special events.
Yeah, I know.
And I keep not having time to finish them, and then the next one starts, and I'm like, I'm not going to have time to finish that one.
They're
either.
Doing a Winnie the Pooh They're, event, yeah. I know.
I think it's I about over.
It is pretty pooey.
Is it pooey?
It's pooey.
Oh.
But I've been playing Bethesda Pinball.
Oh, really?
That's pretty fun, actually. Yeah.
How is it on your phone?
Mm-hmm.
How is it?
It's How's good.
The controls?
Yeah, it's fine. It's you tap one side of the screen for one flipper and the other side of the screen for the other flipper.
You just shake your phone to tilt it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Fuck this game! Ah!
I don't think it did that by default. You had to go in and like change a setting, but you can do that. There's also a way to like swipe it so that you'll shake the machine as well. But yeah, there's a table for Doom, a table for Fallout, and a table for Skyrim.
That's cool.
And so you get to pick one to start, and then you have to earn points to unlock the other ones. Guess which one I started with.
Doom is what I would guess.
Non-Doom?
It was Doom.
Oh, man. I should have known that.
So it's fun. I'm enjoying it.
Can you buy other tables for it? Or
There's just those three. There's the three. And you unlock them by earning points.
Because it's done by the same company, because they do games on
Zen Studios.
Zen Studios. So there's Zen Pinball, which has a bunch of Marvel and Star Wars and South Park and all these kind of different tables. So I was just wondering if it was like a platform you can just buy different tables for it, just like it is on like Xbox One.
Not right now, anyway. It's just the Bethesda just titles, but that's probably like a licensing deal. Like, you know,
some of the Marvel ones are really cool.
I might have to check that out because I'm enjoying them, but it's like at the end of the day, it's just these three tables. So it might be cool to check something else out. So I've been doing that. They also put out a Mortal Kombat X mobile game.
I downloaded it, but I never actually
I've played
started
it a little
yet.
Bit of it. It looks really good. Like, it looks like Mortal Kombat X on my phone. I mean, it's obviously not as fully rendered, but they do a really good job of scaling the graphics down for that size and so that it still looks really good.
Cool.
But it's not... Have you played it at all?
No, I have not.
It's not really like Mortal Kombat.
It's like that more, DC battle stuff that you see all the time.
You have
it's all touchscreen.
It's all touchscreen. It's like okay, now tap now and then like swipe now and like it's that kind of
so it's like
kind of
cutscenes from like a video game
sort of. But
there's other fighting games out there that's very similar. Like they have the DC Universe one. They have the Marvel one.
It's fun enough though. Like I haven't played it a whole lot, but it's all right. You earn points and like upgrade your different characters with all that kind of deal. So
I've been a little busy too. I haven't really played a lot of games, but when I have been playing, we talked about it on the last show, is that Horizon Zero Dawn.
I saw someone cosplaying that at Brian.
Really? Already?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's a good great game.
She did
game.
A pretty good cosplay.
It's a lot of fun. It's I might be a little too open for me, but it's I'm having a lot of fun
You're
playing.
Getting
it.
Distracted with side missions, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. But I'm finally getting to that part of the game where it's starting to really open up a little bit more, you know what I mean? Mm. I did start playing something last night, Dead Rising 4. I bought the version that has the all the DLC, the season pass, and they released a new DLC for it called Frank Rising. So, spoiler alert, if you haven't played Dead Rising 4, I'm sorry for the ending here. At the end of the game, the main character, Frank West, gets killed and turned into a zombie.
Bum, bum, bum.
So this game,
a zombie.
This game picks up right after he dies and you turn into a zombie. So you have pretty cool zombie powers.
Didn't they make more movies of that Dead Rising movie?
I don't know. I never watched the movies.
God, it was so bad.
I just play the games, not the movie.
The movie that came out a long time ago was so bad.
But apparently there's not
Dead
a lot
Dead Rising
of...
movie?
Yeah, it was on Crackle.
Crackle, yeah.
Oh shit!
That's all you gotta say. So yeah, exactly right. Apparently, there's not a lot of gameplay. It's maybe like an hour or two, but it's a little DLC package, so sure. That's fine.
I kind of dislike the whole DLC thing because like buying the season pass and you're only getting like a small portion belittles the whole DLC thing.
For some games, yeah, I think this one it's more. I definitely agree on that. It's like, oh, like you can't really get the costumes in this type
DLC
of shit.
Should be
new game
what we used to call expansions.
Yeah, yes. That's what this is.
That's what it should be. Instead, so many places are like DLC is actually the game that you're only going to get in pieces and have to pay extra for.
Right, they piecemeal it to you and yeah.
Yeah, that's
like Battlefront.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Star Wars Battlefront is like that. And
they announced Battlefront 2. Which
fuck them. I don't care.
Do
no, I they're going to. And so
it's EA, so yeah, you're probably right.
It is, and that's EA's model. And so I'm like, yeah, probably not.
Yeah, I'm not gonna buy it twice.
Yeah,
it got me with the first one, and it was fun with the first one, but I'm not
fool
gonna.
Me once.
Yeah, not gonna fool me twice.
I'll just wait for the fucking Game of the Year edition to come out,
right?
Like I did this time, and I'll wait for.
Or I'll just wait for like a bundle sale on PSN Network and just get it super cheap.
Yeah. So let's talk about the movie we've all seen. We discussed it a little bit on the show last episode, but let's get Dave.
There's a lot of movies out now that I really want to see, but I don't have time.
Yeah, like what movies do you want to
see? I haven't seen Get Out.
That was great.
I want to see that too.
What else? I haven't seen Kong.
That was good.
That was great. I know there's more. There's been a bunch of movies come out that I've wanted to see.
Power Rangers?
I don't give a shit about Power Rangers.
No, you're Ghost in the Shell. Nobody cares about that either.
Yeah. I kind of want to see Ghost in the Shell, but I hear it's been getting like okay reviews. Yeah. It didn't do shit for sales, apparently.
No, it didn't.
Is it crap because everybody's the whitewashing bullshit?
Really? People care about that still?
Apparently. Same thing they try to do for Iron Fist, too.
I don't think Iron Fist was being whitewashed.
I know. The character's always been a white guy.
I just think they just did horrible casting picking Finn Jones.
Yeah. Let's go back to the movie.
So I haven't seen all of these other movies that I want to see, but I have seen Beauty and the Beast twice.
Well, it's because you have kids.
Is that why? Did you go by yourself in the middle of the day one day?
No.
Your kids were with you both times?
Yes. Okay. Kids were with me both times.
Very cool. So he
says.
I finally saw it too. I don't think I had seen it when we talked about it on the last episode.
I don't remember.
So I want to get your opinion, Dave, first.
It's the
most brutal of us here.
It's the best of the Disney live-action remakes so far.
I think it's just as good as all the other ones.
I think it's better than the rest of them.
I think it's all the same.
I like The Jungle Book a lot.
The Jungle Book.
But I haven't gone back and watched it again.
The Jungle Book, I think, was the best one up till this one.
Yeah.
I think there's only one thing wrong with the Jungle Book movie, and it's that King Louie song. It doesn't fit in the movie.
Well, what about... Oh, yeah. What about The Bare Necessities?
No, I think it works because the way they played it out in the movie, it makes sense. And plus, Bill Murray does a pretty good job singing.
you have something against Christopher Walken singing?
Yeah, I just don't like his voice at all in this song.
I can see that.
And the way he's like, he sounds like he's dying of breath when he's singing the King Louie song.
What about Emma Watson's voice that was really auto-tuned?
So me and my girlfriend really agreed that, her voice sounded really auto-tuned.
Yeah, it does.
And I don't know if that was like lack of faith in her be able to sing, or they were just really trying to make it crystal perfect clear for the movie.
Maybe she's just not the best vocalist, you know?
Possible.
They just helped her out a little bit.
They just picked her because she was a pretty face.
Really?
I thought she was okay. I don't think there was anything special about her performance that stood out.
Yeah.
And I really hated the CG on the Beast.
Didn't bother me at all.
It bothered me the whole entire movie because...
It sort of worked.
No, because they could have done so much better. They could have had a person with real clothes, and all they had to do is CGI the head and the legs and the arms. But they had to they CGI'd everything instead.
So, what's his name? Like, he was actually in costume. He was on stilts and all that through the whole deal.
I understand that, but they still CGI'd everything. So it still looked kind of fake. It still looked like she wasn't really interacting with a character. It looked like she was interacting with something that's not there.
Like love?
Well, that and that she does, you know, the whole Stockholm Syndrome thing.
She does a little bit. That's because he gave her books.
Yeah, that's the moral.
He gave her learning.
Moral of the story of Beauty and the Beast, if you can give a girl anything she fucking wants, you got her in the bag. She'll love you.
Give her books.
Yeah, give her books. Or give her whatever she likes.
Get her
things.
I mean, Beauty and the Beast is definitely a classic, you know, one of their classic cartoons.
Yeah.
It's still... one of their best, and I think they did a great job capturing the magic from the cartoons.
It's called nostalgia, bro. That's all. Well, yes,
that's why I love Testament so much. Nostalgia, Testament, and Beauty and the Beast. But and I think what they added to the movie too.
I don't think they really added all. The only thing they really added was the backstory on Belle and her mother and why they moved from Paris.
They also really fleshed out the Beast character. The curse more sense in it than it did in the old one.
Yep.
Well, because in the old one, it was just a background story that started in the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm. But
and then they never talk about it again.
Yeah, but it created problems, logistic problems, but that they deal with in this version of it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I guess exactly. So. I don't remember in the cartoon after the curse was broken. Did we ever see the, like, Mrs. Chip and all the,
Mrs. Potts.
Yeah, I don't remember that. It's been a long time.
And God, Ewan McGregor was the worst singer in that movie. It just sounded like a British Ewan McGregor.
He was on some talk show, and he's like, yeah, I'm not a good singer. I don't know why they picked me.
No, because I've heard some stuff in Moulin Rouge. He sounded okay. It was the forcing of the French accent that he was trying to do was really bad.
He's the only French accent in the whole movie, too.
And Ian McKellen was great as
I didn't even realize that was
Cogsworth,
him. Until like the end of the movie. I was like, oh.
I knew that was him right away. I
knew because I saw the poster and they had like the character and their human form.
So before this came out, like a lot of the CG stuff that they showed in the trailers and stuff, I'm like, I don't really know about if they're going to be able to do a lot of this stuff. The beast stuff kind of suffered a little bit. I felt like they were able to do a decent job with animating the rest of the household characters.
I think everyone else looked great.
And
it was
just like
the beast that I had.
The character design that they did for Cogsworth in particular, I was like, how are they going to animate this through this movie? But they actually did a pretty good job.
They did. And the Be Our Guest song really fell flat for me in the live action version.
Yeah, I sort of agree on that because
that was the highlight of the animated movie. That and the ballroom scene. When you think of Beauty and the Beast, you think of highlight moments. And those were one of the two main highlight moments. And I think those kind of fell flat in the live action movie.
Lumiere was a little weird for me as a character because it was weird when he turned where people just saw him as a candlestick. He looked different than he was as a character. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Like, I don't know how to explain it, but like the character was a little bit different. Like the way they portrayed him on screen.
He looked like a candlestick?
You're saying that his shape actually changed.
Yeah.
It did a little bit.
Well, yeah, because he was fluid. He was supposed to look fluid.
I know. It was a little weird.
So another another aspect of the movie that I was extremely skeptical of going in, but was totally won over, was Luke Evans.
Oh,
Luke
Evans
was the
best thing in that
best
movie.
Part of the
he
movie.
Was awesome.
I think if they would have made a Gaston movie, I think that would have been perfect, as opposed to just a Beauty and
give
the Beast
him time.
Movie. That's too late now.
No, it's not.
The cat's out of the bag.
Prequel.
Who cares? I don't fucking care.
Some people will care.
No, they wouldn't.
Okay, tell me people will not care for a Gaston and
LeFou. Let us know in your comments.
During the war.
Yeah,
like,
there you go.
They make all these references to going back to the war.
That movie would have been a lot more interesting than the Beauty and the Beast version that we got, I think, in my opinion. If we would have focused on a central... Because that was their model in the beginning. And then they realized, oh, well, maybe not so much... Maybe we can kind of go into these live-action remakes of our princess movies.
This is a reimagining of the cartoon and the classic story, not a prequel or a sequel or anything.
Right. I think it would have been a lot more interesting to get a backstory or, focus the whole story from the point of view of Gaston. I think that would have been hilarious.
Like Maleficent?
Yeah, like Maleficent. Yeah. But this would have been funnier. And a musical.
I could see that. I could see that working.
Instead of getting a beat for beat remake of the cartoon version.
I, as a counterpoint to that, one of my favorite moments in the movie is the new song that they did for the Beast.
The lament song.
His lament song is beautiful.
Was that Dan Stevens who sung that?
Yes.
It was okay. His voice wasn't that great.
The song is beautiful though. It's a great moment in the movie.
You could feel the pain and
they really do a good job of making you feel like, oh, he cares about her a little bit, but you still have no point in the point to feel like, oh yeah, she should love the Beast. And technically she really doesn't at the end. She just kind of says it out of sadness. She kind of does.
I don't know. She fell in love with the person, not...
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did.
No, she didn't.
That's what...
She fell in love with is what she fell in love with.
No, I think that in the cartoon you could make a case for that. I think they did a better job of dealing with their relationship in this than they did in the cartoon.
Anyway,
there was definitely a lot more interaction between the two characters, and you know, you could see them actually forming a bond.
I guess so. They had I still think it's just as bad as the animated movie is. The bond part or the falling in love part is just as silly as the animated one was.
You kind of have
silly,
to. Okay,
yeah.
It's a fucking fairy tale.
I know.
You have to roll with it.
I did it. That's why that doesn't bother me. I think it's just as okay or good as all the other ones. I don't think this one's a flagship or standout. I think the only reason why this movie's doing so well because of the nostalgia factor. It's hitting all the right points where they can reach our people of our age and they can reach kids who already seen the movie because people of our age have shown it to their kids.
Speaking of how much it's making, it's almost hit $1 billion worldwide.
I just don't think it's...
A billion.
I just don't think it's special, is what I'm trying to say. People are trying to make it seem like it's the best thing.
So the nostalgia factor, we've talked about all these remakes, all the live-action remakes, and you know, eventually you'll get to a point where oversaturation of that, too. But, you know, they've announced they're going to be doing The Lion King, Aladdin, Mulan, which is not going to even be a musical.
Well, no, they haven't announced it. They're just...
Yes, they have.
Yeah, they have.
For real? They greenlit it, for sure?
It's like going. The next one.
Oh, really? I thought Aladdin was the next one, for sure.
Mulan is, I'm pretty sure, coming out before Aladdin.
Yeah.
All right.
And The Lion King, Jon Favreau doing that one, too.
I thought Jon Favreau's not doing Aladdin. It's the guy who did Snatch.
Guy Ritchie.
He's supposed to be doing
Aladdin. Guy Ritchie's doing Aladdin?
At least that was the last thing I heard.
That's going to be weird.
I know. Okay, I'm down for that, though.
That was the last thing I heard about director's choices for Aladdin. I'd be down for that.
So, speaking of Beauty and the Beast, let's let that segue into our George Heights
Mill. I will say that the point that you've been ragging on is that it's not anything special.
Right.
I don't think it's the greatest thing ever. I think it's the best of this series that they've done, and there are a few really good things about it.
I agree with that. I don't think it's bad by any means. I think it's if I had to give it a ranking between 10, I'd give it a solid 7.
And that's pretty good for you.
Yeah, well, for this kind of movie, at least.
I'd give it a little bit higher. I'd probably give it an 8.
I wouldn't.
Josh Gad is good.
Josh Gad's great.
Luke Evans does hilarious. A great job. The new song I really like that they've added into it. And that they fleshed a lot of the stuff out a little bit more. I feel like overall they really did a pretty good job with it. And I was very skeptical going into it. So, it's not the greatest thing.
I'm tired of this remake.
We've definitely contributed to their $1 billion. So,
he's done it twice.
He's done it twice. That's right.
But he has kids, so that makes sense.
I got to take my wife to finish watching it.
So right, her power went out when she went to see it.
Yeah, she went with some friends, and the power went out during the showing. So, yeah,
I hate when that happened. That happened to me when I went to go see Final Destination. The film burned out.
Oh, that would scare the fuck out of me.
That scared the shit out of me too.
I remember seeing the first Final Destination in the Dollar Theater the day before I went on an airplane.
That was not
a good idea.
Yeah, talk about shooting yourself in the foot for an anxiety.
Exactly. All right, so let's. Since we were talking about Beauty and the Beast, let's let that segue into our George Hates Metal, and we'll be right back. Have it. You just heard some of what we're going to talk about on George Hates Metal.
Yeah, we sure heard something.
We heard it. We heard a lot of it, too. So, this is a very interesting thing that... This is an official release, too. Disney has actually put this out.
Weird.
It came out in Japan last year. Well,
Japan. Well, that makes sense.
And then just released in America, the end of March. So, we're talking about an album called... What is it, the Metal of
it's
Disney?
Called Metal Disney.
Metal Disney
by from the D-Metal Stars. Yeah.
Not douche metal, but... Actually, there's some famous people in this band. You have Rudy Sarzo.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know anything, do you?
No.
Rudy Sarzo, he was a Compalooza year before last. Mm-hmm. Nice guy. He was been in Quiet Riot. He's been in fucking...
I know Quiet Riot, yeah.
what other bands have they been in? Everything.
I saw that documentary about Quiet Riot once.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Let's check Rudy Sarzo's.
Let's look at his wiki page. It also has a guy, Mike Vasira, is the vocalist. He's been in a band called Obsession. He's also been with Yngwie before. So very...
Yeah, not very successful bands, huh?
Maybe. Well,
so yeah. Rudy Sarzo played with Ozzy Osbourne, Quiet Riot, Whitesnake, let's see, several others. Dio.
I know all those bands.
He played with Ripper. So, yeah, I mean, and more stuff besides that. This
I like that band, More Stuff.
And More Stuff.
TBA.
It's the best one yet.
I want to get your opinion on this album. We heard a lot of the songs. Let's talk about like the song list that they've gone through, right?
So explain what this thing is.
This Metal Disney is pretty
self-explanatory.
Yeah, it is.
It takes
power metal-ish, happy versions of Disney songs.
And we all know I love power metal.
And you know I love happy power metal.
Unfortunately.
So
see, that's the thing. Metal shouldn't be happy.
No, it should.
No, it shouldn't.
There's a place for happy and unhappy metal.
No, there shouldn't be.
Yes, there is. Trust me.
He doesn't get to vote on that.
No.
His opinion doesn't. You've had your voting. His opinion taken doesn't away. Matter.
So song list includes Mickey Mouse March. I See the Light from Tangled, which actually, out of all the songs on here, pretty much works. It's a power metal song.
It's one of the better ones.
Yeah. A Whole New World does not work.
You don't think so? I thought like that one's okay. It's okay.
Maybe.
It works as a... It works-ish as a power metal song. Finish the list and I'll save the thing.
It's a Small World. It's the only Disneyland or Disney World Parks attraction that's on this list, which I could have thought of a couple better songs that would have fit a little bit better. There's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow would have been cool. Even like the Yo-Ho Pirate song is, you could do a dark version of that one, right? Dark metal?
I don't think you can.
I've heard a couple of metal versions of it before. So going into, while we started getting into this, Beauty and the Beast, that's the song we're going to talk about in a minute, because that's the one we listened to the full song.
No, we listened to a few others.
Under the Sea from Little Mermaid, Go the Distance from Hercules, Can You Feel the Love Tonight? I don't think we listened to that one.
That's Lion King, right?
Yeah, Lion King. There's a Disney medley, which had songs from like Cinderella.
It's like a hodgepodge.
Snow White and Winnie the Pooh. And then When You Wish Upon a Star. These are all classic. Everybody knows these songs. Growing up, listening to Disney stuff, you know these songs. So let's get into Beauty and the Beast.
So I'll just, since we listened to majority of the album, I'll just give like my overall thoughts on the album. It's cool that this exists. At the same time, the music's fucking horrible.
I said to George that it's... So we were comparing it to the Star Wars metal band that we listened to several weeks back.
Yes, that's right. This does remind me of that.
And I said that it's simultaneously better and worse than that. somehow it's both better and worse than that.
I mean, like, hearing the Mickey Mouse March was pretty cool, but god damn it, I hate power metal, so
I feel like they should have let me direct this thing.
Yeah, right.
I'd have probably picked a different list of songs and changed how the delivery is done on some of the stuff.
No Haunted Mansion stuff, huh?
No Haunted Mansion stuff.
Missing out on that.
But that can't be a power metal-y thing. They have to be like a doom metal band or something.
Mm-hmm. But
oh well.
If there's nothing in this that just says power metal, that's just what we kind of ended up with.
Yeah,
it sounds pretty much power metal throughout the whole.
That's what I'm saying, though. But there's nothing written anywhere that's like this is a power metal thing. It's just a metal thing.
Right. If it comes from Japan, though, that makes sense.
Well, it was released for the Japanese market. It's not from Japan, but it was created for Japan.
Gotcha.
Originally. So I do feel like Go the Distance is probably the best one on here, because that's a Disney song that was already probably most suited to be a power metal song. It has the the epic I'm going to go on an adventure and find my way in the world quality about it. So that one works pretty well. A lot of them don't, and they should have done different things, and they should have changed the delivery on some of the stuff.
Like Under the Sea was weird.
That one's really odd. The Under the Sea one is very odd.
You know who should have done Under the Sea? Alestorm.
Okay.
I'm stealing that from somebody, so
okay.
We'll talk about that. There's some interesting because I want to know what bands you would have picked for some of these tracks and what songs you would have picked.
I'm trying to think of what some song selections would have been that might have been better choices. Because some of these are weird. Like It's a Small World.
Right, like it's a classic Disney song.
And it is, but
like you said, this is being released for the Japan market.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure they have that ride there at Tokyo Disney, right?
I believe so. Yeah,
yeah. So it makes sense for this to be on this album.
It does, but it's just
it's a staple. So
it is a staple, even though people hate it. I personally will take a stand. I do not hate that song. I do not hate that ride either.
I've never ridden the ride. I've always avoided it.
Oh, you should you should do it. Especially if you go to California. You should definitely.
I tried to do it in Disneyland, but the line was too long, and I was like, I'm not going to wait. And especially it's that song for 10 minutes.
The Disneyland version is much better than Florida. Yeah, it's the original design of everything. It's really cool, especially at night when they do stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's all the building itself, the facade on the building itself is cool.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Just from a, design standpoint, it's kind of neat. But yeah, I don't know. I would need some time to think about what I think a better playlist would be on this.
Something we might have to come back to.
And but I would have changed the approach to some of this stuff a little bit as well.
Be a more wide variety of metal.
Make it a little bit. Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna do a general Disney metal album, push the dynamics a little bit more.
Yep.
You know, use some slower tempos to punctuate. And, because everything is all kind of in the same pace through the whole deal. And it's like,
it sounds the same song.
Yeah, you don't have to do that. You could, the way that a lot of these songs are written, they have that kind of like, Broadway quality to them. You can still do those same dynamic things, but make it heavy. And the theatricality of it would work. So I have long contended. And that there's a lot of crossover. I mean, obviously there is on this show, but there's a lot of crossover between metalheads and Disney fans.
Yeah.
I contend
I agree.
That's the case in general. The reason why I think that is there is a theatrical and dramatic quality to the way that Disney handle stuff, the fairy tale nature, the mythology nature, and all of these kinds of things that are also in metal.
Let's take it another step further. Even if you think about it, heavy metal and Broadway and classical music, it's the closest together of any styles of music. You can't say pop music is close to like Broadway because it's all written. It's a lot of heavy metal is written in a very theatrical way.
Yes. And a lot of it is. Yeah.
Especially stuff that is based around this style of, classic power metal, epic metal, whatever you want to call this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Crappy power metal.
Yeah.
In your opinion.
It's crappy power metal.
Metal is often accused of being juvenile escapism. It's like, okay, well, then so are movies and plays and things like that. And so
any kind of narrative.
Any kind of narrative.
Or any type of escapism. You could say it's juvenile in some form.
So, but specifically that metal music tends to deal heavily with sword and sorcery stuff, mythology, and these kinds of things. There's all that crossover there. And so something like this is funny. It's particularly funny that this is an actual Disney approved and released
product.
Yeah, that's
really weird.
That's really weird. But
so someone had to say
the strangest
okay
part.
To this.
It
yeah.
really is. That's probably the strangest thing about this, that this is an official product. But at the same time, so if it hadn't been an official Disney product, it would have been better.
If it hadn't been. Okay.
Because they didn't have the control.
Because they take probably
it.
A little bit more...
More risque chances yeah. with it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Apparently the drummer used to be in Dokken.
Okay.
That probably helps out a lot right there. So let's get back to George's opinion. This is because George hates metal.
I already gave my opinion.
No.
There's nothing really else to embellish. I don't like power metal. It's cool that it exists. Like, there are certain things that make you smile about it, but overall, the guy's voice is annoying.
Favorite song that you would actually sort of like on this album?
No.
Nothing?
I mean, like, the march was okay, but I thought it was because I liked the... It just makes me think of the Mickey Mouse TV show.
My kids liked it.
Your kids liked it?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I was playing it in the car yesterday.
I don't like it.
You would never put this on your playlist?
No.
Okay. I didn't think you would.
I'm not going to be going back and doing a lot of listening to this.
No.
I will say that. Like, it's fun. It's, you know...
It's a novelty.
It's a novelty that's worth checking out.
Yeah, I'll listen to it once, and that's about it.
If you want to listen to it and actually hear what we're talking about, you can actually go to Spotify, which is streaming there. Look for Metal Disney or D Metal Stars, and you'll
be able
to pop
it up.
I'm sure
it's on Google Play as well, right?
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
So or anywhere you can find music.
Any place you're finding you stream your music from, you can listen to it, and you can go the distance with us.
Or you can go buy it today if you really like that crap.
If you want to, yeah.
Show that there's someone made the right choice somewhere, I guess.
You know what? My personal wish is I want Devin Townsend to do a whole album like this. It could work, right?
Sure, I guess.
Yeah.
He's theatrical enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And weird.
I'm looking at the song list. Is there any... What other Disneyland, attraction rides could they do?
I mean...
Haunted Mansion, yeah.
You could if... you not like this.
Not like,
would,
no,
no,
definitely.
It would have to be...
I want Swallow the Sun to do that. I would pay good money to hear that.
Swallow the Sun might be a little too morose.
I don't care. I want that to happen. It's a life goal now.
I'm trying to think. I'm thinking of the
Grim only one that I can think of. Like, there's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow could work.
Yeah. That one would have to be a cheesy power metal song.
Yeah,
absolutely. Trying to think of what style Grim Grinning Ghosts would be most suited to.
Typo Negative would be cool. That kind of style, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing to add to this conversation.
Just look away. Look away.
I don't know. I would need more time to think through what I think would help flesh this out a little bit.
Fair enough. All right, so there's our quick review on Metal Disney. If you want to check it out, like we said, it's on all of your streaming services.
And thanks to
Derek. Yeah, Derek Tatum for bringing it to my attention, because I didn't know about it until he posted it on the Metal Geeks Facebook page.
There's people just looking for shit for me to trash all over now.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, speaking of, if you have something for George to hate on, you can send your request or to msrcast@gmail.com, or you can post it on our Facebook page. It will take it there, too. So, anything else to say on this, George?
No, not really.
To say I hate it.
I hated it.
All right.
It was not a good time, huh? Huh? So it's that time of the week where we talk about what's been tickling our geek this week.
It's not been Metal Disney, has it?
Definitely not Metal Disney.
Right. This is your topic. This is your segment. You can go first.
Oh, you want me to go first this time? Okay. Well, my thing that's super awesome, and I'm pretty sure, I don't know if you guys are Rick and Morty fans at all.
Oh, yeah.
So for April Fool's, Adult Swim did something really awesome, and they premiered the first episode of season 3 for Rick and Morty instead of Samurai Jack, which was supposed to happen.
And I missed it. I missed watching it.
Oh, you didn't watch it?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, man, I watched it 3 times.
But apparently, my DVR recorded it. They actually played it on.
Good.
So I saw that when I got home today. I was like, oh, fuck, I missed it.
God, and there's a lot of Easter eggs in there. Yeah. It's super good. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
That's awesome.
And which is really cool. Season 2, when it ended, it said, well, we're going to come back in about a year and a half. And when they did come back, it was exactly a year and a half. So it was pretty cool. So we're going to get more episodes in the summer for season 3.
Because they were saying for a while, okay, there's not going to be another season for a long time. And
well, they're working on stuff. There was a lot of like weird turmoil stuff going on in the background. At least that's what they let us believe.
Exactly. I think it was a big...
It could have been a big hoax.
Yeah, it was a big April Fool's joke.
Or it could have been legitimate. I don't know. It could be like, because I understand Dan Harmon is not the easiest person to work with. That dude has more problems than he likes to admit. And
that's why he left Community at one point and came back.
Well, he was fired. He didn't leave.
Okay, he got fired, yeah.
Yeah, he was fired.
And left unwillingly.
Yeah. He was forced out the building. And he's been fired from his own friends. So, I understand. The guy is not the easiest to get along with. So, and knowing that the other creator of the show, I can't remember his name right now. It's escaping me. But anyway, it was really cool seeing that come back, especially for April Fool's. It was the coolest thing on TV that day. And if you haven't seen it and you're a Rick and Morty fan, go check it out. It's definitely worth watching. I'm sure you can catch it on like AdultSwim.com, where they're streaming all their... Rick and Morty stuff right now.
Was there a segment in that episode about the McDonald's Szechuan sauce?
Yeah, that's how the show... They make a joke about it in the beginning, and then they like talk about it for like 2 minutes.
I've been seeing
minutes.
That everywhere.
And plus, like Nathan Fillion is a guest star.
Justin Roiland, that's the guy.
Justin Roiland, yeah. He's actually good friends with the guy who created Gravity Falls.
Okay.
So you'll see a lot of like Easter eggs of Gravity Falls in Rick and Morty and vice versa.
I never saw that show either.
Gravity Falls is great.
It's a Disney show, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of the better Disney
it's
shows.
It's over now.
Yeah. I always thought it was just a typical younger-based style show.
It's super funny and it's smart. It only lasted like 3 seasons, but it was really good.
Interesting. Okay.
So yeah, that's what I was really excited to talk about. I'm just happy to see Rick and Morty back, and then we're on track, and we're getting more episodes for sure.
Hell yeah. That's good news. What about you, Dave?
I'm trying to think of something that I haven't talked about already. It's like I'm thinking of like The Void coming out. I'm really excited about, but I'm pretty sure I've talked about that as my thing before. I don't know. I've been in my
in your cubicle.
I have been.
You've been working too hard, man.
No, I have been. I took a day off yesterday, and I think it was the first day off I had in like over 2 months. I was fucking exhausted.
Are you excited for Comic Palooza to come?
I am.
Do some great things for that.
I don't have anything moving yet, but yeah, I'm have some ideas of some stuff to do.
We have some news about Comic Palooza towards the end of the show, which will be cool. Comic Palooza is going to be a lot of fun.
That's coming around the corner, so
yeah,
you'd be here before we
5
know
weeks,
it.
Something like that. 40 something days, less than 40 days.
I'm sure that's what's keeping you busy right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty busy. So something I just found out about tonight. Yes, this is a video game.
I'm telling you, every time we do this segment, it's always a video game.
That's what I'm looking forward to. There's a PC game called Marvel Heroes, and
it's also a mobile game.
I think it's different than the mobile game. It's set up like a Diablo style game,
like an overhead.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've never really had a computer that's able to play it, but they've just announced they're going to be bringing a version of this to the Xbox One and the PS4 soon, called Marvel Heroes. What is it called?
I don't know.
Marvel Heroes Omega.
Omega.
It's going to be the console version of this game. So I'm really looking forward to that, because what I've played before, it's a lot of fun.
Okay. Oh, another thing that I'm not super excited about, but you guys might be, the new trailer for It came out.
I did see the trailer for It. Yeah.
What do you guys think?
It has promise.
Does it?
So
I really have no care for it.
It's Stranger Things.
Are they?
No, it has. I know. It's nothing like Stranger
Things. Are they doing two separate movies?
I think so. Yeah, it's going to be the kid version,
and then the grown
up when they grow up. Yeah.
Really?
Okay.
So that's from what I can tell, because there's no
adult in this trailer at all.
Right.
And as
unless
far as
a big surprise,
because the original one, that movie was a miniseries. It was like both. Right.
It was a two part miniseries.
Yeah.
But if my understanding is that they don't even have people listed as cast for the adults of
these
characters.
It could be like a big surprise.
Maybe.
I'm not sure. It hasn't been confirmed that they're going to make a sequel, because who the fuck knows if this movie doesn't do well.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will do well, but it doesn't like excite me at all. I know people are super excited about it.
I'm interested, but not super excited at this point.
And then the new Spider-Man trailer came out.
I haven't watched that yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome. It looks really good.
It's pretty cool. It's going to be a great movie.
Yeah. They had the character down pretty right. Finally.
But it was some weird news like circling around that. Like after the third Spider-Man, because they're going to do the second one, or this one, and another one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Another sequel to this.
Yeah, and then like they're going to reboot the series again?
Well, I think they're losing the rights to the character at that point.
Oh, okay. I don't know the specifics of whatever. I just read the headline.
They, speaking of Marvel stuff, they teased that the Defenders release date on Netflix is August 18th.
Oh,
so
cool.
That's pretty quick.
Yeah.
And I also
it's
read
too
today,
bad that they failed with Iron Fist so
well,
bad.
Maybe they'll make up with Defenders and put them all together.
Maybe.
I did hear that the Freeform, who's also working on, they're working on a new series called The New Mutants. It's going to have Squirrel Girl in it.
Oh, I did read that.
And it's going to be a half an hour situational sort of comedy style show.
All right.
Which is interesting.
I don't know anything about Squirrel Girl other than like she's a quirky character.
Yeah,
a lot
pretty
of people
much.
Like her. So,
have you been watching the DC show? Can't think of the name of it now.
What's it about?
Where they go around cleaning up stuff. They don't really clean up, but they're working for Wayne Enterprises. Has Alan Tudyk in it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. No, I don't watch.
I can't
that
think of
show.
The name of the show now. It's like
the Community Wannabe Show.
It's not that good.
No,
it's not as good as Community.
It looks stupid. So
there's three great actors on that show. Comedian actors. There's Alan Tudyk, uh-huh. Great on that show. Ron Funches, freaking hilarious, and Danny Pudi. Vanessa Hudgens.
What'd you say about my butt?
Yeah, very pooty. Vanessa Hudgens brings that show down to a screaming halt, I think.
Oh, maybe
she's not very good.
Maybe they'll kill her off and fix it in the season two.
Probably not. Because she's a popular, you know, Disney star, you know. I can't think of the name of the show now.
I don't know either.
Powerless, thank you. The voice from the other room was there for another save. Danny Pudi, yeah, that's right, from Community.
I don't care.
It's not as bad as you would think.
I'm not a big fan of sitcoms, so.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go. There's that.
And
so,
speaking of that video game, they just said it's going to have the largest roster of playable characters in any game. It's
more than Marvel versus Capcom?
Yeah, Spider-Man, Avengers, Defenders, Inhumans, X-Men, Guardians of the Galaxies, and more.
Cool.
It's all together.
What's the graphics going to look like? Is it going to look cool?
I mean, there's a little teaser for it, but it's like no really gameplay yet. I mean, they have the PC game, which they've had out for a while, you can play. And I have played a little bit of that. It is definitely a Diablo clone. It is a lot of fun. So, sums up.
Cool.
Hopefully soon.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that's everything tickling our geek.
Sure.
Anything else, Dave?
No.
All right, let's move on. It's a world of laughter, a world of And that brings us to the end of another episode of the Metal Geeks Podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us this evening. We had a lot of interesting conversations about metal this
and
evening
Disney.
And Disney.
Yeah, especially Disney.
A lot of Disney. I wanted to take a quick moment as we were about to record. Just found out that a great guy from TSO, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, he was involved in Sabotage and a bunch of different metal bands, passed away tonight. Paul O'Neill. He was a rock producer, composer, brilliant guy.
What did he die from?
Chronic illness is all they said.
Young, old?
61, 62. Okay. So semi-young.
Yeah, mid-range.
So check out some Sabotage. Check out some Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
I've always wanted to see that live.
Me too, actually.
Every time it comes to Houston, I miss it. Every year. It will always, something will come up, or I can't afford it.
Yeah. So you never know who you're going to see at a TSO show, too, because like, they have different versions of East Coast, West Coast. You know, I don't know who's playing with who. So
I think Al Petrelli's still working with them.
Yeah, Al Petrelli's still in the band, one of the touring bands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jeff Plate, who's now in Metal Church. Chris Caffrey's in the band from Metal Church and Sabotage. John Oliva has toured with him before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, condolences to his family and his friends.
That's it. I'm going to have to listen to some Sabotage and some TSO tomorrow.
In remembrance.
Exactly. Any news items you wanted to... Anything off that didn't fit anywhere else in the show? Anything you want to talk about?
Apparently, Hayao Miyazaki is making another movie.
Miyazaki?
Yeah.
Studio Ghibli?
Well, he used to be with Studio Ghibli.
He's not with them anymore?
No, he retired, apparently. That's right. At least what I thought. And to my knowledge...
I never believed it.
To my knowledge, Dave enlightened me and say, no, he retired to learn more about animation.
So that he could continue making movies.
The guy because who he's made masterwork for animation.
Right.
And we talked about this during the break. I have never seen one of his movies.
You really need to.
I really do need to.
Especially, it's like a pop culture icon.
Do you
thing.
Have any?
Yeah, I got a few of his movies.
I'm going to have to borrow a few from you and actually sit down and watch them.
Yeah.
I just never been in, you know, introduced to it.
An absolute master. And like we were kind of hinting at a second ago, he announced his retirement, I don't know, a couple year or
couple
two
years
ago.
Yeah.
And when the news came out, I was immediately saddened by the news, but then I went,
he's
hang
old.
On.
It makes sense.
No. I went, this isn't the kind of person that retires. Because there are people who don't.
Okay.
There are people who just work until their time is up.
Yeah.
And he's one of those people. And
he's he's another Walt Disney is what you're saying.
Yeah. He's Japan's Walt Disney. And he's got the creative mind and the creative drive that he's not the kind of person who just goes, okay, I'm done working now. It's like he's always going to have more stories to tell.
I just find it hard. Like, what do you teach a master of animation?
Who knows?
Else could he learn? Did he have to learn something?
There's always something.
Yeah, I guess so.
There's always something new to learn.
That's true.
And so he let go of the reins of Studio Ghibli so that he could become a student again. And now he is bringing what he's learned and making something new.
I did want to make a correction of something I said earlier, talking about the Squirrel Girl series. It's not New Mutants, it's New Warriors.
New Warriors.
Yeah. So
they are making a New Mutants movie.
Yeah, they're making a movie, yeah. Which this sort of led up to in the end of Logan somehow?
Sort of.
They've introduced a few characters already.
Yeah, but I don't think any of those characters... the Logan movie is like a standalone. It's going to have very little connectivity.
I don't know. I think they've introduced a couple of the characters already.
They did.
Yeah.
But those characters are not guaranteed to come back.
No, they're not guaranteed.
For the New Mutants, because they're still writing the New Mutants, and we don't know who or what they're going to use.
That's very true. And there's something I just read today. You know how they're doing an Obi-Wan standalone Star Wars story movie?
They've been talking about it for a while.
They've been talking about it, but Ewan McGregor is coming back to play the role.
Why not? He did a great job in the prequels. He was the best thing about the prequels anyway.
Yeah.
Especially when he got a little bit older. So much so that they used his likeness for all the cartoons and comics after.
Are you caught up on Rebels, by the way?
Yeah.
I am not.
Oh, okay. You didn't see the episode with him and Darth Maul?
I have not. I heard it's pretty amazing.
It's great. Some people complained about it, the length of that encounter.
Yeah.
But I thought it was...
Too short, too long?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, okay.
But I thought it was the perfect amount because of who Obi-Wan's supposed to be at that time. And also, the way of the Jedi is very similar to the samurai. That's how you would end a fight in that manner.
Just like we fought Darth Vader at the end of New Hope?
Sort of? No, okay. Not really.
I'm going to try to catch up with that.
It's good. I liked it.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
I've heard it's only doing in like another season or two.
It's possible one more season, and then that might be it. But there will be another...
A different show after that.
Yeah, another spin-off show, of course. Cool. Did you hear about how they're going to possibly do another trilogy after this trilogy is over?
Trilogy...
A Star Wars trilogy.
Well, they said they have plans till like
2021.
No, past that now.
Well, yeah, now, but when they first announced it, they had plans up to 2021.
Oh.
But now...
We're going to hit oversaturation with Star Wars,
too. It's going to become the new like superhero problem.
Yeah.
But they're now making plans for a new trilogy once this trilogy is over. Once this new trilogy
7, 8,
is
9.
Done, so once 7, 8, 9 is done, we already got 10, 11, and 12.
Well,
or they're planning 10, 11, and 12 now.
They're not stupid for doing it.
Yeah, but
until people stop buying tickets to see them, they're going to make them.
I mean, what else can you fucking tell? Jeez.
Yeah, I don't know. We needed that Jar Jar backstory. That's when they've jumped the shark at that point.
I really like that fan fiction story of Jar Jar Binks being the Sith Lord.
It's my headcanon now, and it makes him much more watchable.
Yes, it does. It makes him more palatable.
Yeah,
what it does.
He's a secret undercover.
He's a secret Sith Lord.
Okay.
Yeah. And
Sith comes
and you
in
can
threes.
You can watch like if you watch the prequels with that in the back of your mind, you're kind of like, okay. Yeah. Now, once you get into like the Clone Wars stuff, it doesn't really hold together. But if you're just watching the prequels, thinking Jar Jar Binks is a Sith, you're like, okay, it makes sense
now.
It
makes total sense.
Okay, I'm gonna have to. I don't really want to watch him again.
Have you seen like Jackie Chan, Drunken Master?
Yeah, the
whole like, I'm an idiot, but I'm actually kicking your ass.
Know what I'm doing?
Like an Iron Fist, he fought a Drunken Master.
Yes.
I just saw that episode.
So
it was a stupid show.
Jar Jar Binks is the Sith equivalent of a drunken master.
Yes.
He fakes that he's this idiot, but what is he comes through unscathed constantly and fails his way to success.
And then eventually
he's not a Sith.
And then
he becomes like a political
high-rise.
And then
he becomes part of an integral part of the political system.
And hands it over to Palpatine.
Yes, he's a fucking Sith.
Oh, Jesus.
It was all part of the plan, dude.
Mind blown.
That's what we say. It's Sith comes in threes. Even Yoda said that shit.
Yeah. So, it was Darth Maul.
Darth Maul, Palpatine, and what's his face?
Jar Jar Binks.
Where's the other guy? The other
Count Dooku didn't
Dooku.
Count, because he was just a pawn in the plan.
Okay. I guess that's true. All right, I'm gonna have to. I don't really want to rewatch him again.
It makes it more palatable.
It does. It really does. If you look at it that way, you're like, I kind of enjoy this a little bit more.
You're like, oh wait, he's secretly being a bad guy. He's just playing him for a fool. I mean, mind you, the movies are still shit.
Sure,
and they're horrible to watch with all the politics in it.
Yeah, there's decent parts out of those three movies.
Sure,
but
that's what I always tell people about the prequels. There are some great ideas here.
Yeah,
just not executed right.
And some of it looks really pretty too. Some of it,
no, not really.
It's all the practical really effects that they used.
None of it really looks any good.
Oh yeah,
nothing in the prequels look good.
There's no practical effects. That's right.
Like, even the lightsaber fights look pretty bad.
You don't like the pod racing?
The pod racing's cool. Yeah. At the time, it was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, even now, it's still kind of cool. It's a cool scene to watch. But, like, does it make sense to the movie? Not really. Anyway.
They had to spread it out over three movies. Come on, you know that.
Anyway, they had to explain why Anakin was such a good space pilot.
Sure.
That guess, and
no, they didn't.
They didn't.
No, they could have just said, "Oh, and he's a really good pilot, by the way." Problem solved.
Or
they did
uses
with Luke.
Uses
Movie
his
over.
Things with the Force.
Movie over. Wow. So you said you're not a fan of Rogue One, right?
I didn't say I don't hate it.
You've seen Rogue One, right, Dave?
Yeah, I thought it was the most fun I had watching a Star Wars movie since I was a kid.
Agreed.
I think it's a fun, good movie. I think there's serious problems, and it upsets me because it could have been good. It could have been better.
Well, there's a different cut out of it somewhere that hopefully they'll...
It will never get released.
I hope
Disney has a thing about director's cut that they will never do that.
Because remember, all those trailers originally had completely different...
Those scenes were made just for the trailer.
I don't know about that.
No, the director came out and said that.
Really?
Yeah, Gareth Edwards said those scenes were made just for the trailer.
It's strange.
Like that whole, like them running through the beach while the beach is blowing up, that was made just for the trailer.
Okay.
Yeah.
They should put that on the Blu-ray, then we can at least see the scenes.
No, you'll never see that stuff.
Damn it.
Unfortunately, Disney has a thumb up their butts when it comes to like director cuts and like ultimate cuts and stuff like that.
That is true.
Now, if they did came out with a version with all those scenes, I would love someone to re-edit the Rogue One to make it a better movie. Because there's a lot of problems with Rogue One. But a lot of it you can't fix with editing because it's just poor writing and poor dialogue and poor acting.
Okay. You had fun though, right?
Yeah, it's a great movie. Okay. It's fun. I just don't...
At least give me that.
I don't think it deserves all the credit it gets. People are saying it's the best Star Wars movies ever, and it's not. I mean, it comes close. It's fun. It's good.
It's in my top five.
I mean, there's only like six movies to pick from, dude.
There's eight.
Well, yeah. We don't conclude the prequels because those never make anyone's top five. Okay, it's in my top four
then. How about top three? Let's see these top three.
Really? Top three?
Yeah.
All right. Just for shits and giggles, I want to hear this.
Okay, episode one.
This is
like your least favorite.
Oh, okay, we're going the other direction.
I don't know. I'm joking.
So favorite, of course, is Empire Strikes Back.
Of course, yeah, it's everyone's favorite.
Number it is
the best movie.
Number two, I'm going to say is Rogue One.
Really?
Yes. And then A New Hope.
Okay, think about it this way. Rogue One... If you had knew nothing about Star Wars and you watched Rogue One, it makes no sense.
Why doesn't it make sense?
It doesn't make sense.
Okay, but you could say that about Empire Strikes Back too.
Right, but it's still no. Even in itself, it still has an overarching story that makes it has a good closer to it. It makes sense because they touch back on everything you need to know in Empire Strikes Back. I mean, from A New Hope in Empire Strikes Back. Blah. Tongue tied. Anyway, in Rogue One, there's like, you have to have a lot of prior knowledge to enjoy it. That's why it's a movie made for fans. And that's why it's fun.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. It's a fan service
movie.
But
as a movie by itself, the characterization is poor, the storyline is poor, and all it really does is just do really good fan service.
Is it better than Iron Fist?
Way better than Iron Fist.
Okay, I'll take that.
But I enjoyed it. I give it like a solid 6.5. I think it's fun to watch. I didn't run out and buy it. I was tempted today. I walked in through Target and I saw it. And I was like, no, I'm not going to pay $20 for it. I'll wait till like Black Friday when it's on sale.
Of course, you know, I had to pick up the limited edition steel book.
With the Death Troopers on it.
That's right.
That was from Best Buy, right?
Yeah, from Best Buy. I pre-ordered it a long time ago, so... I picked it up yesterday.
In my opinion, Force Awakens is a better movie than Rogue One.
I like Force Awakens. It's not... I think there was problems in that movie, too, but...
Of course. No, you're not wrong.
Because they had to do a lot of, you know, exposition and setting up for
Yeah, and there's
stuff.
A lot of plot holes in Force Awakens that still today are not really explained. Less plot holes than Rogue One, and it has a great overarching character. You care about those characters at the end of that movie. You want them to live. In Rogue One, you don't give a shit from the beginning to end. You're just having a good time watching them go through this horrible adventure.
Okay, you can't tell me you didn't have feelings for K2.
Because he's the funniest one of the group.
Exactly.
But that's it. You can't rely on that. I'm telling a good story that you can't rely on that. And that's my biggest gripe with it. But the movie's great. It's like, it's a perfect.
I know we've had this discussion before.
Yeah, so. When we first saw it, I had the exact same discussion. And I think it's a great pairing, and it makes the original Star Wars a better movie, but it itself is not a great movie. And that's my
take. Maybe Jar Jar was behind this movie, too.
He probably was. He's probably, you know, pulling the strings.
Because they never showed Jar Jar dying. So he's a secret Sith Lord lying in wait sometime.
You know, if they ever pull that shit in Rebels, I'm going to, like, hallelujah, the fan theory is correct.
You know what Star Wars thing I am looking forward to that's coming out this month? Timothy Zahn is writing a Thrawn book.
Oh, cool.
So I'm looking forward to that. Because Timothy Zahn, Heir to the Empire series, growing up, was my favorite thing in the world. So good.
And then we get our new Star Wars movie this Christmas.
Yeah.
Directed by one of my favorite directors.
Gareth Edwards?
No.
Oh, what's his name? I'm sorry, that's the guy from Rogue One.
Yeah.
What's the guy from Episode 8?
He directed...
Oh, come on.
I'm having a brain fart.
He's my
right
favorite
now.
Director, but I
like
his
movies.
Name.
I like Ryan his movies. Johnson. Ryan Johnson, thank you. He did Looper, and he Looper did Brick, great, yeah. And he did Brothers Bloom.
Yep.
There's not a movie he's made so far that I've like, that movie sucks. He's a great writer, too, so, and he's writing this movie, so I'm excited to see what they come up with.
He's doing 9 as well, right?
No, they got the guy who did Jurassic...
But he wrote 9 then, right? That's right, Doc, what's the guy from Jurassic World?
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't know
how to
pronounce
Ryan Johnson
his name.
Wrote the screenplay or the story for 9 as
really?
Well.
Really? I didn't know. I don't know anything about that. I just know he did... Everything he did is for 8.
Right. I just think the story he wrote, or I'm not sure, we'd have to look it up.
I'm pretty sure J.J. Abrams had a hand on all of 3 movies, but I don't think...
You know, one thing we didn't talk about, speaking of directors, it's we had this little bit of a conversation earlier about DC hiring somebody to do the Batgirl
that's
movie.
That's right, the Batgirl movie.
So they have stolen... Joss Whedon away from
stolen?
Marvel. Not really. Stolen,
I mean,
but...
he was already out the door when he was making the sequel to Avengers.
So, you know, Marvel, when they heard this news, they're like, oh, fuck. Really? I mean...
You think Marvel went, oh, fuck?
Yeah, they you know, it had to scare them just a little bit.
I don't think so.
Maybe just a little bit.
Not even a little bit.
A little tiny bit.
Why? All they have is Joss Whedon's fandom. To be worried about. And
well,
it's
yeah.
really not that much to be worried about. The only thing DC needs to do is worry about making a good movie.
Well, hopefully they'll finally learn how to do that.
And it would be nice if they give Joss Whedon the opportunity to write Batgirl, but that hasn't been confirmed, nor has it been said that's going to happen.
So what did you think of the Justice League trailer? Did you see it, Dave?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was another trailer that came out.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah. I watched it.
I watched it too.
I mean, it looks okay, but they made the Batman v Superman trailer looked okay as well until you saw the movie.
Well, it just looks like CGI crap.
Yeah,
for a lot of it.
And they're not even a lot of
Cyborg the way he looks in that.
A lot of the movie, they're not even fighting together.
That's not true.
The couple spots.
At least in all the trailers, there's a lot of like assembling together. It's Justice League getting together shots.
Justice League Assemble. Wait a minute, we can't use that line.
Yeah, right. Well, there's a lot of shots where they're like grouping together in the trailer.
All right, everybody get in. Oh, and closer together. All right, good shot.
Yeah, and they're really using a lot of Jack White's music, I'm noticing.
So. Anthrax covered a White Stripe song on the like the re-release of the new album.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Never heard the original song, but...
What song was it?
White something? I don't know. I just downloaded it today, actually. I don't know.
All right. But anyway, it looks kind of like CGI crap. I'm kind of like, I think I've grown numb to the crazy CGI.
Black Mass is the name of the song. I don't know. I never heard it before, but.
All right. So yeah, I'm not like super amped for Justice League. But.
Well, so do you, I think Joss Whedon knows how to write strong female characters, knows how to.
Well, because that's his wheelhouse.
It is his wheelhouse. So. He's the perfect choice for a Batgirl movie.
Question is, does anyone want a Batgirl movie? No. No one's ever clamored for one.
Never asked for one, but we're getting it.
Yeah, we never clamored for one. What we wanted was at least a single good DC superhero movie. And this can provide great, but...
We'll get there one day.
And
So far, it's stacking up to be their best shot towards one.
That's not true. The new Batman movie. Oh, but no. You hate Ben Affleck.
He's awful.
But the new Batman movie might be good.
It won't be.
It might be.
It won't be.
With Matt Reeves and the helm.
And what about Aquaman?
Well, no. I do like that director. He's the Asian director who did The Conjuring. James Wan, I think is his name.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's doing Aquaman?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it could be interesting. They haven't picked a director for The Flash yet, because every director's quit that they've hired. So I don't
know. That bodes well.
I don't know what that means.
They leave quickly, don't they?
You know who they should get for The Flash? What would be really cool is like Edgar Wright or Tim Miller, who did Deadpool.
Wasn't Tim Miller doing some kind of DC?
Nah, he's doing some other movie.
Okay. I'd have to love Deadpool.
I heard about it. I heard him got signed on to something else, and I just thought it was a stupid choice.
All right, well, that's enough director talk for this episode of Metal Geeks.
Sorry, I'm talking more about movies than normal.
No, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in again. You can find us all over the internet at Metal Geeks and our sister show at MSRcast. You can find us at metalgeeks.net. You can find us on iTunes. Subscribe. Look for either MSRcast or Metal Geeks. We're together. It's one feed there. You can subscribe and give us a review, and it helps people really find the show. You can find our friend over at Grey Bear Comics.
Yeah, our Kickstarter is going on right now. I don't know when this will air, how many days we'll have left, but I'm pretty sure we'll still have a few days left on our Kickstarter. Please go check it out for our comic, Speak No Evil. Just go to Kickstarter and type in Speak No Evil, and pledge if you can, share it. We need all the support you can get. We're trying to get this funded so we can keep making more comics. And if you want more information, find us on Facebook at Grey Bear Comics. It's G-R-A-Y. We're also on Instagram and Twitter.
So if you agree with what George says on the show, or you disagree with what George says on the show, still go support
even if you disagree.
Book. Even like, if, especially if you disagree.
Yeah, because
put your money where your mouth is.
I have a co-writer who we disagree all the time, but we meld our minds together to make a great story.
That's right. And Dave, where can people find your wares right now?
You can follow my artwork stuff at Red Viking Dave on Instagram and Twitter, and now Facebook as well. I will have a web store open as soon as I have a minute to put stock in it. It's there and it's ready. I just don't have the time to stock it right now. But I'll have prints and other things available as well. As well as Geekazoid, who will be reappearing for Comic Palooza. And you can currently find me and my wife making art live and selling our art at Sherwood Forest Fair, which is going on for several more weeks.
I'm going to try to hit out there one weekend before it's over.
Yeah, totally.
Looks fun.
So we are doing
that. What's the name of your store out there?
It's Battle Maiden Fine Art, and it's booth 408.
There you go. Also, you can find us on esopodcast.com. You can also find us on Stitcher and now Google Play. So we talked a little bit about Comic Palooza, but the Comic Palooza podcasting program that I'm actually one of the leads on, we've just started it up today. So on the next episode, we're going to try to get some more information for everybody out there and maybe some interviews coming up about the show soon. Maybe
cool.
Some guest stars coming on.
Like artists that will be at the show?
Maybe artists, maybe some other people that might be there.
Cool.
Might interview somebody from Grey Bear Comics.
Yeah, because you never know. You don't have a lock on that.
I gotta get that scheduled. It might happen. I don't know. I might know a guy.
You could also schedule some people from Mind Fudge Comedy.
Mind Fudge, yeah. I think I know a couple of those guys, too.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's your other show. Let people know about that too.
Yeah, Justin and I, God damn it, Andy.
Forget your co-host name.
I'm having a really rough night. It's late. Give me a break.
I'm going to send him that.
Yeah, you should. He'll laugh.
That dude,
Andy, with the weird
Princess
beard. We call him Princess Sophia. That's how I always think of him. I don't call him Andy right away. Anyway, we have a show called Mind Fudge Comedy. We do a 30-minute comedy show where we just take apart a theme and we add some segments to it, and we have a good time doing it. Come laugh with us at cool. Mind Fudge Comedy.
Well, thanks for tuning into this episode. We will see you guys next time, and one last thing we always have to say:
keep it metal
and always keep it geeky.
Keep it metal and geeky
and Disney.
Well, there you go.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.